in my head, and I'm like, is that a contemporary Christian song from the radio? What is that? And then all of a sudden it was like, it was from a cantata that we sang. The last time we sang it was like 3 years ago. And so I thank Sister Manon for going in her basement and getting us the books. The guys got together one time this week and we threw it together, and I appreciate it. They did it for the love of God, and it's a strong, powerful message. And last week, our brother Mark, the first brother Mark preached, and the opening song was, or maybe the second song, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. You know, the Lord's our rock. And then he gets up and he says, well, that's my sermon. And I'm sitting there going, well, that's my sermon. So, you know, my thought is, okay, do I change it? You know, but I looked to the Lord and he did not want me to change it. You know, sometimes he, and always he's with us, sometimes he wants us to ingrain in our minds the things we need to do. He always wants us to do what's right and to serve him. And so the title of my sermon is Building Our Lives Upon the Rock, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to start with Psalm 31, 1 through 3 says, O thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. You know, so I have a question. You know, question, do we seek the Lord daily and ask him to lead us and guide us in our lives? You know, that last thing is, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. We must ask him for that guidance in our lives. You know, we need to have a strong dedication, preparation, to make sure we build that strong spiritual foundation on the rock, Jesus Christ. You know, as we grow in our spiritual lives, as we seek to build that important connection, you know, we must be certain that everything we believe, every doctrine by which we live, is founded on the rock, Jesus Christ. You know, if we are not anchored with our Lord, then no matter how perfect it looks on the outside for all to see, we will eventually fall. We must be anchored on the Lord. I'm going to turn to 2 Nephi, and this is on page 93. Second Nephi 4, page 93, and I'm going to start with 50, and it says, Rejoice, O my heart, cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in thee, my God, and the rock of my salvation. O Lord, wilt thou redeem my soul? Wilt thou deliver me out of the hands of mine enemies? Wilt thou make me that I may shake in the appearance of sin? You know, do we shake in the appearance of sin? You know, we, in our lives, it's so easy to have sin, you know, but God will forgive us if we come to him with that humble heart. And so do we shake? We should shake in the appearance of sin. We want to do good. We want to serve our Lord. May the gates of hell be shut continually before me, because that my heart is broken and my spirit is contrite. O Lord, wilt thou not shut the gates of thy righteousness before me, that I may walk in the path of the low valley, that I may be strict in the plain road? O Lord, wilt thou encircle me around in the robe of thy righteousness? O Lord, wilt thou make a way for mine escape before mine enemies? Wilt thou make my path straight before me? Wilt thou not place a stumbling block in my way? But thou wouldst clear my way before me, and hedge not up my way, but the ways of mine enemies. O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. Yea, my God will give me if I ask not amiss. Therefore I will lift up my voice unto thee. Yea, I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto thee, my rock and mine everlasting God. Amen. You know, it mentions here that we need to put our trust in God, not in the arm of flesh. You know, we have so many things that distract us in our lives, you know, our day-to-day lives. We are busy people. You know, we have in work and in everything we do, we are busy. We have so many distractions. And these activities, they're fine, but we must put God first. Put God first above all, then do all the other activities. You know, God wants us, you know, with God, we have joy. I found a quote, and it's a good thing to ponder. And it says, in a society that has you counting money, pounds, calories, and steps, be a rebel and count your blessings instead. You know, God gives us so many blessings, and we need to give him that praise and that glory. You know, I've done all those things. I've counted, I think we all have, counted the calories, counted the pounds, counted the steps, counted our money. But it's so important that we count our blessings. And I want to read the song, Count Your Blessings. If you don't know me, you know I love music. And the hymns in our songbook have been inspired by God. And it gives us a message. So it's on 198, if anybody wants to follow along. It says, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings, money cannot buy your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. And the last verse, so amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. And the chorus, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. You know, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, as we seek the Lord and his will in our lives by studying the Word, we can be sure that we are building on a rock-solid foundation. And as we are faced in the storms of life, no matter how hard the winds blow, the rain falls, we can have that assurance that we shall not be moved. And I'm going to turn to Matthew 7. Okay, Matthew chapter 7. And I'm going to start with 21. And it says, not everyone that saith unto me, this is Jesus speaking, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which has built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew, beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Mark last week mentioned on sand, you know, if we build our house on the sand, think of, this was a great scenario I hadn't really thought. If you're out at the ocean or you're on a beach, and the waves are coming in, and you're standing barefoot in the sand, and these waves come in, and as the waves come in, you look down at your feet, and your feet are sunk. You're sunk under that sand. It's a great feeling, but you don't want to build your life, your house, on this. You know, as opposed to the rock, you think of a rock and how firm and strong it is, and how firm and strong our Lord is. And if we can build our lives, if we can build our spiritual lives, build our lives on that rock, that is the importance. I'm going to read out of the Book of Mormon, and it's very similar to what I just read in Matthew 7. But the Book of Mormon, 3 Nephi 6, on page 642. And I'm going to start, it's 3 Nephi 6, 642. I'm going to start with 33. It says, "Not every man that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." We must always strive to do what's right. "Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name hath cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not are likened unto the foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." You know, we don't want to fall. We want to be strong. We want to be doing the things of our God. You know, what are the things that we need to do to prepare that solid foundation so that we can make sure that we build that firm foundation on the rock to ensure our strong walk with the Lord? You know, and the first thing is, you know, we need to pray. We need to start by seeking the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to turn to 3 Nephi 8, and this is on page 651, really close to where I just ended. So 3 Nephi 8, page 651, and I'm going to start with 47, and it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil. And ye are led into away captive by him. And as I have prayed among you, even so shall ye pray in my church, among my people which do repent and are baptized in my name. Behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you." So here it is. It's easy. If we'll follow him, if we will pray to him, he is our light, and he has set that example for us. "And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and saith unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore, you must always pray unto the Father in thy name. And whatsoever ye do, ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And behold, ye shall meet together often. Ye shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when ye shall meet together, but suffer them that they may come unto you and forbid them not. But ye shall pray for them, and ye shall not cast them out. And if it so be that they come unto you oft, ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore, hold up your light, that it may shine unto the world. Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do. Behold, ye have seen that I have prayed unto the Father, and ye have all witnessed. And ye shall see, and ye see that I have commanded that none of you should go away, but rather commanded that ye should come unto me, that ye might feel and see. Even so shall ye do unto the world. And whosoever breaketh this commandment suffereth himself to be led in temptation. Now, we have so much temptation in the world. We have many trials, temptations in life. But if we seek the Lord daily in prayer and develop that close relationship, he will guide us in our path of righteousness. Our Lord has given us the avenue to come to him in humbleness and repent of our sins. And he will forgive us. You know, he makes it easy. You know, he makes it easy. There's so many ways, so many little ways we can sin, but he's given us, with his plan, he's given us that opportunity to come, repent of our sins. You know, we must continually to strive to follow his commandments and to serve him. If we are founded on the rock of Jesus Christ, we will be able to recognize when we fall into sin and temptation. You know, last week in our Sunday school class, Daniel asked the question, you know, if you're driving down the road, someone cuts you off, or speeds up on your tail of your car, you get mad, you mouth words at them in frustration, you know, is that a sin? And so there's many different answers. You know, is it I was justified because they were driving crazy, or this guy here might drive a little too slow on the highway. I don't know. I drive the speed limit, and maybe just a tad over, but I'm not a speed racer like my wife. No, that was just added in there. I'll pay for that later. So I drive. I drive to work. I drive about 35 miles each way, you know, so I'm on the road. I'm on the road, just my work week, I'm on the road 350 miles. And I know within that 350 miles that weekly that I'm either irritated at somebody else or somebody is irritated at me, you know. And that's just a simple thing of sin, you know. There's just so many ways, you know, we get upset with people. You know, God says, love one another. You know, and the way of life, we're all different. We all have different personalities. We all have different things in our lives. In our daily lives, you know, we have the many opportunities to repent. And our God is there for us to forgive us. You know, he wants us to recognize when we slip and come to him in humbleness so that we can get back on track and continue on that straight and narrow path. You know, our God is good. Our God is there for us, and he wants us to seek him. Let's turn to 3rd Nephi, page 634. And this is 3rd Nephi 5. So 3 Nephi 5, 634, and I'm going to start with 40, and it says, and again I say unto you, you must repent, be baptized in my name, and become as little children, or you can no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine, and whoso buildeth upon it, buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. And whoso shall declare more or less than this, and establish it for my doctrine, the same cometh of evil, and is not built upon the rock. But he buildeth upon a sandy foundation, and the gates of hell standeth upon to receive such. When the floods come and the winds beat upon them, therefore go forth unto the people and declare the words which I have spoken unto you, unto all the ends of the earth. You know, it's, so there we are. It says, be baptized. And I'm just going to say, you know, there's several here probably that haven't been baptized in the Church of Christ. You know, please consider the need. Seek the Lord in prayer. Talk to our ministry. You know, seek the answer so that you one day can make that commitment to the Lord. You know, it's so important, you know, to seek the Lord and to have that baptism and follow his teachings. You know, making that commitment to God that he will bless us. He will bless us in our lives. You know, we need to study the scriptures so that we know the words of the Lord and can grow in our spiritual lives. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, we must study the scriptures and know what we believe. Do we know what we believe? And we need to build upon that rock. You know, do we heed to the instruction that we receive by studying the Word of God? Or do we just skip the instructions and do whatever we think is right? Yeah, okay, I'm going to give you a practical example. And a few years ago, my dad and me were putting together a screen door on the front of my house. And we just started putting it together and thought we were doing great, and we finish, and we have lots of parts still left on the ground. And Becky comes out, because she's an instruction person, and said, well, did you read the instructions? And of course, we said no. So then we read the instructions. She helped us with instructions. That door went together, no parts left on the ground, and it was, you know, a lesson that, you know, if we would have read the instructions the first time, it would have taken a lot less time. We would have had it together, had it perfect. You know, the same thing, I eat oatmeal at work every morning. I have this instant oatmeal, and I'd been probably making it a good month, and I say something to Becky one night. I'm like, you know, every time I make this oatmeal, it boils over. I got to really watch the microwave because it's boiling over. And she said, well, did you put too much water in it? And I'm like, I don't know. And so she said, well, you know, the packet, there's a line on this packet. And I learned something. There's a line on the packet. You fill the water, and you pour the oatmeal in. You fill the water to this little line, which isn't much water. I was putting lots of water in. And sure enough, if I would have read the instructions, now I make great oatmeal. But if I would have read that instructions, and that's what we need to do. We need to read the instructions, which is in our Bible and Book of Mormon, and so that we can know what's right. There's so many examples in here that will teach us how we need to serve. You know, and when we are given instruction, on how to better serve the Lord, do we take that opportunity to share our knowledge of God's goodness with others, so they can benefit too? And here's another work story. You know, I'm at work 40 hours a week, and So I'm there a lot of the week, and we have a lady that's working in our office right now, and she worked in our plant. I work at an envelope company, and she works on a machine, and she takes the envelopes off, and she stacks them in the box, and she bands these boxes, all this. Well, she developed carpal tunnel, and she had to go on light duty. She had to have surgery. She has these scars from surgery. She's done her second hand. And this week, she came with instructions, and she was giving it to all of us, these instructions on exercises that the physical therapist had shown her that she could do that could prevent us. You know, I'm on a computer. I'm on an adding machine, you know, but still, when you're doing that repetition movement, you can develop this. So here she was sharing her knowledge of, you know, it had already happened to her, and she's doing exercises to prevent it again, and she's had these surgeries that were painful. But now she wants to give that instruction to us so that we can prevent from having it. So with the gospel, when we learn the instruction out of the Bible and the Book of Mormon, is as we come here and we learn from what God has given us, do we pass it on? Do we share the blessings of our lives with others so that they can grow, and so they can grow in the knowledge? You know, we need to have that desire to share the knowledge that we have learned from the scriptures. You know, sharing the blessings. You know, we must live our lives as a good example so others can benefit. You know, what we do, how we talk, others will know if we are true followers of God. Let's turn to Psalm 62. Okay, Psalm 62. I'm going to start with one. I'm going to read one and two, and then I'm going to skip down to six. And it says, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." And then down to six, he says, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us." You know, we can gain strength from God. You know, he is our foundation. He is our You know, believe in God and put your trust in him. And I'm going to read one of my favorite scriptures. Probably before I say it, people can turn to it. Mosiah 2 on page 220. And I'm going to start with 13. Mosiah 2, page 220, 13. It says, "Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man cannot comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins, forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. And again, I say unto you, as I have said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if you have known of his goodness and have tasted of his love, and have received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that ye should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness, and his goodness and longsuffering towards you unworthy creatures, and humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if you do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins, and ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And let's flip over to 155. 155. And this is 2 Nephi 12. And I'm going to start with 34. 2 Nephi 12, 155. And I'm going to start with 34. And it says, "For behold, he that is built on the rock receiveth it in gladness. And he that is built on a soundy foundation trembleth, lest ye shall fall. Woe be unto him that shall say, we have received the word of God, and we need no more of the word of God, for we have enough." You know, we never have enough. "For behold, thus saith the Lord, I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And blessed are they that hearken unto my precepts and lend an ear unto my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom. For unto him that receiveth I will give more. And them that shall say, we have enough, for them shall be taken away even that which they have. Cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh, or putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm, or shall hearken unto the precepts of men, save their precepts shall be given by the power of the Holy Ghost. Woe be unto the Gentiles, saith the Lord God of hosts, for notwithstanding I shall lengthen out mine arm unto them from day to day, they will deny me. Nevertheless, I will be merciful unto them, saith the Lord God. If they will repent, come unto me, for mine arm is lengthened out all day." His arm is there for us, saith the Lord God of hosts. You know, if we're founded on the rock, we will walk with the love of Christ in our lives. You know, let's turn to the first two commandments of the Lord, and it's Matthew 22. So Matthew 22, verse 37, it says, "Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So there's the first two commandments. And we know them. We know all the commandments. You know, love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, do we show that love? Do we walk in the love? Do we show the love of God by the example that we give? Let's turn to Romans 12. Okay, Romans 12, and I'm going to start with verse 9, and it says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." You know, is that a hard task? I mean, sometimes some people are harder than others. You know, maybe I'm the person that's hard to live with, you know. But God tells us, live peaceably with all. Show that love to one another. You know, we all have different personalities. We all have different things that we like and do, but we must love one another. Moroni 7, page 768. So Moroni 7, 768, and I'm going to start with verse 50, and it says, and if a man be meek and lowly in heart and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity, for if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long and is kind and envieth not, is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing. For charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ. Do we have that love? Do we possess the pure love of Christ in our heart? And endureth it forever. And whoso is found possessed of it in the last day, it shall be well with him. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all energy of heart, that you may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all the true followers of the Son, Jesus Christ, that you may become the sons of God, and when he shall appear, you shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, that we may have hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. And let's turn to Colossians. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, and I'm going to start with 1, and then I'll skip down to 12, and it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Don't we want that glory? And then we'll go down to 12. It says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Are we thankful? We are thankful. Let's be thankful people unto our God, giving him the glory. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You know, usually I end there, but I'm going to continue. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as is fit unto the Lord. And so the husbands are saying, oh, yeah, wives, you need to be kind to me. But it keeps going. It says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You know, it hits us all in what we need to do, how we need to act. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh. You know, at work, you know, do we do the things we should do at work? not with eye service or men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord and not unto men. You know, do it to the Lord. If you know me, I sometimes have a little, do something a little different at the end to remind us of what the sermon was about or what we should do. And at my work, my boss, he's in Minnesota, and he is, you know, when I talk to him, I'll talk to him on the phone frequently, and at the end, he'll say, right on, you know, and it's just his saying at the end. And so to remind us and to put in our minds, you know, you're going to say, David, he's a little crazy probably, but I think if you were asleep during the sermon, at this point, you're going to see the message. And of course, I thank my daughter she had aprons to do for the cooks at camp, and she had things to get done, but I said, can you make me a shirt? And so she made me this shirt, and you can probably read it. I don't know, it goes with my sermon. Is, you know, it says rock on, you know. So I want us to remember that as we go through life, as we leave these doors, where we need to be planted spiritually, that we must seek our God for all things, that we must seek the Lord and be grounded on the rock. I'm almost done. You know, I usually read a poem. But instead, I want to read the words to that song, the song that I had the brothers sing with me, and it's called Upon This Rock, and it says, you are the Son of the living God. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. I'll build my kingdom on this earth. I'll build my church upon this rock, the solid rock, you know, solid rock of Christ. Says, and we say, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, you are the first begotten Son, born from the love of heaven. And we are the church, and we will serve and glorify. Do we serve him? Do we glorify him? The things we do in our actions in life. We are the church to be the living sacrifice offered to you through all we are. And then here it is. And so our love for Christ will be the cause, the reason why we live our days to walk in faith. Faith in the rock, the solid rock. And Psalm 127 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Luke 6:47 through 49 says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man that has built his house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. So let's build our foundation on the rock of Christ, so that we can withstand all the trials, the challenges that we encounter in life. I'm going to read from, I have two more scriptures. Read from Helaman 2, page 557. And it's two verses. Helaman 2, 557, verse 74 says, and now, my son, remember that it's on the rock of our Redeemer, which is Christ, the Son of God, and ye must build your foundation, that when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts in the whirlwind, yea, when all his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you, to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe because of the rock upon which ye are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereon if men build, they cannot fall. And the last scripture is from Hosea 3:21, and it says, therefore I would that ye should be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in good works, that Christ the Lord omnipotent may seal you his, that you may be brought to heaven, that you may have everlasting salvation and eternal life through the wisdom and the power and justice and mercy of him who created all things in heaven and in earth, who is God above all. Amen. You know, I hope we can take from us this day the desire and the zeal to build our foundation on the Lord. And always remember, rock on. So remember that. So I think it's crazy, but I hope we remember where we need to plant and have our life on the rock. So rock on. Thank you.